Hi, this is Matt Haig, and thank you for listening to Hanshin Tigers English News.
Hello, welcome back to Hanshin Tigers English News. I don't know about you guys, but when I listen to podcasts, I tend to listen at 1.5 speed or sometimes 2 speed or whatever, but depending on how I speak, it might actually throw you off if I do that, right? By the way, I'm T-Ray. This is Hanshin Tigers English News, episode number 46, and with me as co-host is...
Good old Joe.
Good old Joe. How you doing, my friend?
Not too bad.
That's good. That's good. How's the weather out there in Penland?
It's not too bad, actually. Yesterday and today, it's in the 70s, so maybe 20, was that like 22, 23 degrees? It's actually pretty cool for the time, so.
Sounds pretty good compared to what we've got. We're back in heat wave, and it is just crazy hot here. Feel bad for the farm guys, even though they're having a good week down there. They play their games midday. I can't imagine it. Man, those guys are troopers, I tell you. Low pay, you know, poor playing conditions, and like worried about heat stroke every day. But anyways, we're here to talk Hanshin Tigers. I would love to talk about the farm boys more because they are far more successful than our boys, aren't they?
Doesn't take much.
No, it really doesn't. Not this week, and maybe even not the last half of last week. Anyways, what were we going to say? Oh, episode number 46. So our number 46. Can you name him?
Not off the top of my head.
No worries. His name is Naoto Tsuru. He's a backup. Pardon me. He's worse than a backup. He's probably a backup reliever on the farm. He actually did play a little bit on the Ichigun team this year, but with very little success. And I think he's about 30 years old, and he was drafted at high school. He was a first overall pick. I think if I'm not mistaken, he was drafted as an outfielder, and he was converted to pitcher, something weird like that. Well, anyways, he is not on our radar for anything. And actually, if we look at our upcoming episodes, 47, 48, 49, 50, we're not seeing a lot of amazing players either. But anyways, we'll get to those when we get to those. Shall we get into the action here, Joe?
Let's roll.
All right. Well, this week we had 5 games to play, everybody. And if you remember, last week we finally ended our long road trip and we played 3 at Koshien. But we actually went back on the road for 2 to start this week off. So we played Tuesday, Wednesday in Nagoya Dome against the last place lowly losers, the Chunichi Dragons. Well, guess who the losers were this time? We brought Fujinami to the mound. They brought Raul Valdez to the mound. Last time Valdez faced us, we tagged him for a couple of home runs and we beat them 4-1 at Kyocera Dome in middle of August. This time on August the 30th, in the first inning. Shall I do the honors here?
Yeah, just blow us away.
Yeah, okay, well, you got your coffee ready, everybody? You got your beer? You got your, I don't know, something. You're going to need something for this. Sit down and strap in. So Fujinami actually allowed a kind of a cheapo hit to the first guy. It was just a chopper that went over his head. Then he walked the next guy. Then I think it was a pass ball that advanced him to second and third. And then there was an infield hit, which actually, if Fujinami had been on the ball, he would have covered first base and it would have been an out. Anyways, a run scored on that. So it was 1-0 for Chunichi with no outs. And then the very next guy hit a grounder third, so we got one out, but they scored another run. And then the very next guy with one out hit a single to left, so now it is 3-0. Still only one out, runners on, just runner on first, but then they got a couple more guys on base, and I think it was still one out, and their catcher I think even their backup catcher, if I'm not mistaken, Sugiyama, hit a Grand Slam home run. So 7-0, first inning. Fujinami is still not even out of the first inning. And actually, he I think, got a couple more guys on base before he got out of the inning. But anyways, the damage was done. That was the end of Fujinami's outing. One inning pitched, obviously a career worst for him. 7 runs, 5 of them earned. He always manages to give up these runs that are unearned, and I don't know what it was. I don't know. It was the pass ball, I guess, or I don't know what it was. But
yeah.
Anyways, terrible outing by Fujinami. You know, granted, there were a couple of kind of unlucky infield hits, but his control was way off. I mean, the commentators were saying when he missed the strike zone, he missed big, and when he hit the strike zone, he was hitting it kind of dead center. So it makes the batter's job real easy when you do that, you know? Yeah. You know when to swing and when not to, and you know where to swing, so not much of a challenge. Anyways, the game didn't end there because that was only the first inning, so...
Right, so we had a little bit of a comeback here in the second. Hadaguchi was leading off for the inning and had a full count and cranked a home run halfway up the stand. So a little bit of momentum swing there. And then a little later in the inning with Sakamoto up with runners on first and third with no outs, he hits into a double play to get a run, making it 7-2.
And yeah, then, that was kind of disappointing, wasn't it?
I mean, oh, absolutely.
It would have been nice if even a non-double play would have been nice. But anyways.
Yeah, you could, you know, with that, you know, runners on, no outs, you're thinking, okay, this maybe we can get 3 or 4 runs back and turn it into a game a little later.
Honestly, but, right? Yeah.
Yeah, sure. So, but, you know, hitting into a double play, it's just kind of a heavy morale swing. Even though you get a run out of it, it's like whoop-de-doo. So.
Yeah.
But then continuing on in the fourth inning, Yamato comes up with a runner on third, which was a Nakatani triple and no outs, and gets a hit to left to bring Nakatani home. But that's all we could do for that inning. So after 4, it is 7-3 Tigers.
And imagine that, actually, after Yamato's RBI single, we sacrificed bunted when we were down 4 runs to get a guy into scoring position for pinch hitter Egoshi, who looked at 3 straight pitches and struck out and ended the inning. Anyhow, enough of that. Let's go on to worse news. In the 7th inning, by the way, we are now on pitcher number 5, this being Yuya Ando. He gave up an RBI triple followed by an RBI single, so the score now is 9-3, and that is how this one goes into the books. Tigers get demolished. Actually, last week they won 2 games by that same score, and now we got one right back in our faces, and it felt really awful.
Yeah, especially giving up all those in the first, because the whole game was just atrocious to watch. So, 11 hits and only 3 runs. That's pretty bad, I think.
Part of that was that we also struck out 12 times, and we also hit into that one double play. Or was there more than one double play?
Yeah.
I think it was just the one. But yeah, you know, we did have plenty of opportunities. Again, in the 6th inning, we had a couple of... it was a one out. With one out, we had 2 straight hits, but we couldn't get anything out of it.
Yeah.
So, you know, we definitely had chances. And it looked like, you know, especially when we got the 2 runs in the 2nd inning and 1 more, and potentially, you know, there was potential for more in the 4th. It was like, well, if we could have even gotten it to 7-4 or 7-5
right.
By the 5th inning. I mean, that's who cares then about the first 7 runs, in the sense that, like, who cares how they were scored? We're still only down 2.
Yeah, but the momentum's, you know, on your side.
Yeah, but I mean, in this case, obviously, we didn't build the momentum because we kept blowing it every time we got guys on base. Couple notes, couple of good relief performances by Kazuyuki Kaneda, who was recently called up, and you will hear his name in a couple weeks' time. He is number 48, so episode 48, we'll talk a little bit about him. Shimamoto also with 2 shutout innings. They both look pretty good in doing so. Yeah, what's it matter?
Yeah. Yeah, so talk about using your bullpen.
Yeah, geez, that was, you know, 7 innings of bullpen work there. You know, when you got a guy like Fujinami on the mound, you obviously expect a lot more. You want him to go 7, if not 8. He wants to go 7, if not 8, if not full, you know, complete game. But just looked terrible. He got a mouthful from Fukudome on the bench, and then Toritani came later and talked to him as well. But he looked like he was, you know... about to break down in tears. And then actually the next day he showed up in the dugout, even though he didn't have to be there because I guess it was Benkyo time for him. He had to study, learn, and he had to learn something from Randy Messenger. Not a bad guy to learn a little bit about pitching from. So he was on the mound against Yoshimi. And Yoshimi is actually a pretty solid pitcher who's just faced a lot of injury in his career. But he's been relatively healthy this year. Anyhow, I don't know if we just take you through the scoring, this is going to be a really quick recap of this game. But, well, I guess we can do that real quick and then we can talk about any other pertinent information. Seventh inning with one out, Randy Messenger walked a guy. It was a really close call on a full count. And then that guy ended up stealing second base. And I think it was a couple of batters later.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was with two outs. And their pitcher was up. Yoshimi was up, actually. And on the second pitch, I think, that he faced, he hit one to center. Nakatani kind of looked like he wasn't very quick to field it or to get it to home. But he still managed to get a really good throw in home. And he was just a bit too late. The runner slid in under the tag, got there in time. They did a video replay. It was ruled safe. 1-0. Randy was pretty livid. He wasn't mad at Nakatani or anything. He was just mad at how things turned out because he's that kind of competitor. But that's it. 1-0. That was the game, everybody. That was it. One run all game.
We crazy. Lose.
Yeah. So we got swept by the lowly losers. Who are the lowly losers now, though? Anything you want to talk about with this game, Joe?
I mean, Randy had a heck of a game. You know,
he did.
7 innings pitched, only gave up 4 hits. Had 8 strikeouts, 3 walks. You know, giving up 1 run in 8 in 7 innings is an amazing effort, especially for our pitching so far. And just couldn't get the bats around. We only had 5 hits, and you know, 2 of them came in the 4th. Probably had our best chance, but didn't get it there. And then in the 9th, we had a runner on 1st and 3rd with 2 outs with Hataguchi up. And, you know, you're thinking, okay, maybe we can tie it up. Maybe we can tie it up. But he grounds into short. So I can't say we didn't have our chances because they had just as few chances as we did. But they just cashed in the one chance.
Yeah, and of all the people to do it, their pitcher. So that was real unfortunate as well. So our losing streak at this point now is 5 games, which is pretty awful because DeNA has heated up again and Yakult has heated up again. And it seems like it was the Carp, the Dragons. Actually, the Dragons have heated up. Maybe not so much Yakult. It was the Carp, the Dragons, and DeNA, I think, that were winning a lot of their games this week. And it was like, man, this is terrible. I mean, I don't care if the Carp keep winning, but I really didn't want for DeNA and Yakult and the Dragons to have success. But they were doing it. Yeah. So, we got Thursday off, and the rest of the league continued to play because we just had more games played than most of the rest of the league. But we come back home, refresh ourselves. We are back at Koshien, where we suck. heading into this one, we were 20-28-1 at home. At home being Koshien so far in the year. But we're going up against a team that we have great success against. We were 13-5-1 heading into this series against the Bay Stars. And we are bringing actually a new kind of new guy to the mound, I guess, Akiyama. It's his first start of the year. He only had a couple starts last year. He's been in the system for a while. I think this is his 6th season with the team. But, you know, not one of our top options. The thing is that last week after their terrible starts, we deactivated Iwazaki and Aoyagi. So they were not ready to come back in time for this series. So Akiyama gets the start. Oh, what a start. First guy, 2 pitches in, hit. Next guy, 3 pitches in, hit. Next guy, 3 pitches in, RBI double, 1-0. And then he got one out. I think he got Tsutsugo out somehow. And then with one out, he allowed a regular hit, just a single. But it was that's right. It was a single, kind of up the middle, and it got past the drawn-in infield. So 2 runs scored, 3-0 for DeNA. After one inning, poor Akiyama, what a poor start.
Yeah, so and then we have a few clean innings, and coming up into the 5th inning, And Gomez is leading off, and he's been in a little bit of a slump the last couple games, I would say.
You could say that, yeah.
Yeah. So, but he comes up and cranks one to the left field home run. So nice to get a little bit of a jump start. So it's 3-1 Tigers.
And he then got all that, too.
Yeah. And then Nakatani comes up right after Gomez and says, oh, okay, you hit a home run. How about I hit a home run? And hits a back screen center home run, making it 2-3. So nice, a little bit of an effort, you know, good effort there. And then Yamato comes up and gets on with a hit. And then we have a sack bunt and then a grounder to end the inning. Sorry, no grounder and then a strikeout by Hojo. So nothing going after those two home runs and a hit. But still, two runs on the board, work back 2-3, looking like this might be a game.
Yes, but the very next top of the sixth inning, that was right after our two home runs and the getting back in the game, Ryoma Matsuda on the mound in relief. He has been outstanding so far since being called up, but he allowed a home run to Lopez. It was a big, deep home run to the deepest part of center field. It was a solo shot, fortunately for us. So now the score is 4-2, down by two. We're still not generating any offense. And in the top of the ninth, Takahashi, in relief, gives up a solo home run to Kajitani. This one was to right field. I think it was pretty much right in the corner, but it was also a no doubter. So now it's 5-2, and we're down to our last three outs.
Right. And so we get nothing out of the first two outs, but with two outs, Imanati comes up with runners on first and second and gets an infield hit to short, but then there was an air charge to shortstop on the throw, getting one run across. So it is 3-5, and then there would be a strikeout by Shunsuke to end our suffering.
Yes.
And continue the loss streak.
Yes. Now the loss streak is six games. So one of the, a couple things I wanted to comment about this game. First of all, in the first inning, I really don't understand the drawn in infield, in the top of the first, you know, with, I know runners on second and third, you want to prevent the run, but how about if you like play soundly? I mean, I mm-hmm. really think that the drawn in infield is a high risk.
Yeah,
you don't have to take that. You don't have to take that unnecessary high risk in the first inning. I don't get the highly conservative bunts in the first inning. I don't get the highly, you know, risky drawn in infields in the first inning either.
Yeah, but I mean,
so really, like if Hojo had been playing regular depth, they would have gotten one run, but we also would have gotten a second out there, and that would have been a 2-0 inning instead of three.
Yeah, and the thing is, you know, we started off the season with Kanemoto not necessarily bunting in situations that previously the team would. And it seems like yes. We may have fallen back into that rut.
So, actually, that was going to be my next point. You're exactly right. Last year, I remember calling what a disaster on Yutaka, the manager, because after two straight home runs, I think it was Merton and Ryota Arai, and then a hit batsman, I think, was Egoshi, I'm not mistaken. I remember saying, man, you've got this pitcher against the ropes, man. And I think the team was, I think in this case, we were still down a couple of runs as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, man, he's allowed two straight bombs and then he hit a guy. His control isn't great and he's being hit like crazy. Why do you want to bunt? And that's exactly what we did in the bottom of the fifth here. Gomez home run, Nakatani home run. And then who got the hit? Did you
say? Yamato.
Yamato got the hit. And then it was, let's bunt him over to second base. Why? I know you want the one more run to tie the game, but come on. I mean, you know, you've gotten three straight hits off of this guy. Surely it wouldn't be too much to ask to try and get a fourth.
Right.
You know, as opposed to giving him a free out and letting him, you know, settle in and stuff like that and regroup. So, yeah, just silliness.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing I wanted to say about this game, sorry, I'm hogging all this stuff.
Sorry.
Ninth inning, what a comedy of clowns we had as our pinch hitting crew. And granted, it did work out okay, but our first pinch hitter was Shibata. He actually swung at the pitch, but also got hit by it. So it actually counted as a hit by pitch. So he got first base for free, even though he didn't deserve it. And then Imanari, you know, his infield hit that you talked about was, I mean, you know, it was typical Imanati. I mean, the ball hit the ground maybe 5 feet in front of home plate, and it was just like a little chopper that he happened to leg out. And then Shunsuke with the pinch hit or pinch strikeout, I should say. I mean, all three of them just look pretty clueless up there. And it's like the ninth inning. This is our final chance to win the game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all we got left. I mean, it was just kind of sad. I don't know. Maybe we didn't have anybody else left. I kind of don't remember.
Yeah.
But it's still just like, is that all we got? I mean, it's in times like that, that as much as, you know, as much as maybe Egoshi deserved to be farmed and he looked lost and stuff, those are the times that you want that guy there that, you know, give you that hope. Like one swing of the bat could tie the game, but one swing of Shunsuke's bat ain't going to do anything. So anyways, anything else to talk about in this one, Joe?
Not too much. Not for me.
Okay. Yeah, so Akiyama with the loss, and actually, unfortunately for him, he actually got farmed after this one, but he looked really good in the second through fifth innings. He was clean, and actually, when they pinch hit for him in the fifth, or was it pinch bunt for him? No, it was pinch hit. He was pinch hit for after the bunt.
Right.
Am I right?
Yes.
Yeah, and it was unsuccessful, but it was unfortunate because actually Akiyama's pitch count was still relatively low, and he had settled in nicely, so I mean, he could have done just as good a job as the pinch hitter. You know, of course, that's all in hindsight, but...
Mm-hmm.
Just the same. I hope Akiyama can regroup and, you know, somehow fight his way back up to Ichigun and you know, pitch effectively.
Yeah.
But anyways, let's move on to the next game in the series. And the big news in this one was definitely who was starting at third base.
Mr. Captain himself.
Yes, he is making his big return to the starting lineup after all of those gratuitous pinch hit appearances. And he is starting at third for the first time since his rookie year in 2004. So that was the big news starting out. Of course, we want to break our losing streak and we want to show that, you know, having Toritani in the lineup is better than having him not in the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we got on the scoring board first, right, Joe?
Right. So in the fourth inning, Takayama comes up with one out and a runner on second and gets a timely hit to center to score the first run of the game. So 1-0 Tigers after four.
Woohoo.
Yeah. On our first two hits of the game for us, we were three up, three down in the first three innings. So
that's right. Yeah. The whole lineup did squat. That's right. I remember that. So it took until the sixth inning for the Bay Stars to get anything against Nomi. I mean, I think he gave up a second inning leadoff hit, but other than that, he was clean through mm-hmm. five. I think it might have been one walk besides that through five innings. But then in the sixth inning, he kind of got dinged up a little bit. So with runners on first and third, he allowed a sacrifice fly. And then he actually... what happened there? He actually ended up walking a couple of guys, I believe, mm-hmm. and the bases were loaded. Yep. And so they actually pulled him and they brought in Satterwhite. And Satterwhite got them out of the mess, but still the score is tied. So for now, our lead is gone. But
so the bottom of the sixth, nothing. Top of the seventh, clean. So bottom of the seventh, Fukudome is leading off and cranks one to right field for a right stendo home run. And it is 2-1 Tigers. This is looking good.
It was looking good. And then the top of the eighth right after that. Oh, man. So we bring in Kyuji Fujikawa. And, you know, this is a guy that really, I think we said it in last week's episode that when he's good, he looks really good. And when he's not good, he looks really bad. This one was actually a little bit of an anomaly because he didn't look too bad. He actually looked pretty good. But he ended up being, spoiler alert, he ended up being the losing pitcher in this one. He gave up a couple of hits. I think the first hit was clean. The second one was, the second one was an infield, hit where, Yamato managed to get to it. And then he tried a glove toss, to second base. And it was, maybe he thought Hojo was Fujinami. he threw it, you know, it was a little bit high, so Hojo couldn't get to it. So the runner was safe. And then it was with two outs. So Fujikawa got the second out. Tutsu goes up, and actually on a 2-0 count, he got him to pop up to shallow left field. And actually it popped up, and it dropped down, and it landed. And since it was two outs, both runners were running full steam. They both made it home. 3-2 lead, and that's the ball game. 3-2 loss. Wow. Fujikawa with the loss. But like I said, you know, I don't want to always defend players that I like, but actually he didn't pitch too badly. And it was a pretty fluky hit. Tsutsugo, you know, who is actually known as a slugger, really, he popped it up. Takayama looked like maybe he judged it poorly at first. He took a couple of steps directly towards the towards the line instead of forward. And because of that, his charge came late. And then when he charged, the ball actually caromed off of him, and then it caromed off of Hojo. And so that was just kind of a disaster. I think it was a rookie mistake in the field, too. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
So, 7 in a row.
7 losses in a row, yes. And again, in the bottom of the bottom of the 8th, we brought in our same parade of pinch hitters. It was the Shibata and Imanari show, which I don't understand when you still haven't used Kano, when you still haven't used Uemoto, who are much better batters.
Right.
Maybe it was because they wanted lefty hitters in this situation. I'm not really sure. Anyhow, they both grounded out very feebly. So that was really unfortunate. But were there any other chances that we had, Joe, in this one that we just didn't capitalize on? I mean, we only had 4 hits all game, so I can't.
Yeah, I mean, the 5th inning we led off with a hit, but then, you know, 1-2-3 after that. And so, you know, we just didn't have it all together. So, we didn't give up a whole lot of, I mean, it was just a, you know, kind of a pitching duel almost. There wasn't a whole lot of anything for either team. So.
Yeah, for sure. Satterwhite came in with 4 outs, so that was really good. Mateo came in for the first time in ages, mm-hmm. and also had a clean inning, so that was also good to see. But 7 straight losses, including 5 straight at Koshien. So now we are 20-30-1 at Koshien on the year. That is awful. I mean, honestly, at this point, we pretty much have to win out the rest of our Koshien games to have a 500 record on the year. Pretty much. I think we can squeeze in one more loss and be okay, but... So let's go to Sunday and see if we get one more loss here. Okay, so we are bringing Yuta Iwasada, who is definitely having a Jekyll and Hyde season, mm-hmm. Up against Shota Imanaga, who is a first-round pick of the Bay Stars this past draft. These two have faced each other twice in the past. Each one won one. And this one, man, it was a great pitching duel. I'll tell you. Iwasada was actually really good in this one, but in the top of the 2nd, for one pitch, he was really not good. He left one, a little bit too much over the plate for, once again, the guys that Japanese Baseball Weekly podcast called J-Lo. I prefer to call him Halo, if anything, because it's Jose Lopez, not Jose Lopez. Anyways, Lopez with another home run. It's another solo shot. This one was also a no-doubter, a big home run. Fortunately, again, it was a leadoff home run. So 1-0 for DNA, but our bats could not respond.
Well, we did. We had a good chance. We had 2 hits from Fudome and Hadaguchi in the bottom of the 2nd, and then a couple outs and a walk. So we definitely had the bases loaded there, but we couldn't convert. Iwasada came up and struck out. So we had some chances there in the 2nd.
Well, the issue there was that with runners on 1st and 2nd, it was Kano and Toritani up. You know, the veterans that Kano is kind of used to being in these pressure situations. It would have been nice to see him do something better than strike out. And then Toritani, I think he grounded out to 2nd. I don't remember. Yeah. I mean, he grounded to 2nd twice. He popped up foul to 1st, and he popped up to 2nd this game. So he had a terrible outing overall.
Yeah, so he's, what, 1-for-7 since he's been back in the lineup? So.
Yeah, 1-for-7, that's right.
We'll see. So,
that's a little bit worse than his season average, but not by much.
Yeah.
anyhow, so this one goes bagels all the way until the 8th inning, Joe.
8th inning. I mean, so somehow... So
still 1-0.
Starting in the 8th. Let's see. Sorry about that.
That's okay. It was Hojo.
Yeah. Hojo. Sorry. Hold on a second.
Hojo with a single. Sorry. It's Hojo with a single
Hojo with a single to left, and then Uemoto with a single to center, and then...
both runners advanced, though.
Yeah, correct, because they were just going to throw to third, but they held it up, and Uemoto was coming to second because he thought the throw was going to go to third, so runners on 2nd and 3rd, and Takayama comes up, and then gets a hit to center where the center fielder... dives coming into the running, you know, closing on the ball coming in, and
looked
it
like
hits.
He could have had it.
It hits off his glove, and so it was a real close play, but it bounces out of his glove, and so we get the first run there. So it's 1-1, and then Fukudome comes up and gets a fly to center, and then. Hataguchi comes up with the runners on first and second still and gets a double over the left fielder's head to score two runs and 3-1 Tigers. So this is quite the inning for the team. I think we had five hits in this inning and had five in the previous seven innings. So the team definitely turned it on when they needed to for once.
Yeah, yeah. So Cano followed up Haraguchi's hit RBI double with a single as well. It was a shallow single, so Haraguchi didn't score. And then it was up to Toritani to try and extend the lead, but he popped up second. Anyhow, interesting thing happened, though, in that inning, Joe, was that on the Takayama hit, and this kind of worked in our favor, so say the TV commentators, and I'll believe them, that Uemoto was on second and Hojo was on third.
Right.
So you'd think, well, Uemoto at the very least would get third base, if not score. I mean, he's got wheels. But from his vantage point, I mean, it's was it one out or?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was one out. So he's kind of got to hold up just in case this guy makes a miracle catch. I mean, he doesn't want to turn in a double play to end the momentum, right? So he's holding up, and he couldn't really, from his vantage point, see whether the guy caught it or not. And so when he finally could tell whether he, you know, that he didn't catch it, he wasn't able to advance to third. Well, it was because of that, that when Haraguchi came up, there were still runners on first and second. If Uemoto had been on third, the infield may not have, or the outfield may not have been drawn in when Haraguchi was there. And then Haraguchi's hit may have actually been a sack fly or it might have even been two outs at this point. Or it was two outs, yeah. So it might have been no runs. And so it actually worked out to our advantage that Uemoto did not advance. And what did not work to our advantage was that Uemoto, on a pickoff play, actually sprained his knee or sprained his ankle or something, and he actually had to be taken off on a stretcher. So that was kind of unfortunate.
But after the interview at the end of the game, Kanemoto said it really wasn't a serious injury, so he's not too concerned.
Right.
See, it almost looked like cramps almost because they were lifting his leg up. So hopefully it's not too serious.
Yeah, he did look like he was in a lot of pain, but it definitely didn't look like a break or like anything really serious. So, yeah, the good news, too, is that the Tigers get they get tomorrow off or Monday off. And then it's a five-game week. So, Joe, we went 1-4 this week. I think both of us said they would win both in Nagoya. Oops. Our bad. And then in this series, I actually, we both said 2-1, and then I changed mine at the last minute. I said, no, they're going to go 1-2. And until the eighth inning, bottom of the eighth in this one, it was looking like we were both going to be wrong. But the Tigers saved me and gave me a correct prediction for this series. So thanks, guys. But no thanks to you for basically, you know, turning this into a pretty much hopeless situation to reach the playoffs. I mean, there's still
one game out of last.
Yeah. I mean, if we had lost today, we'd be tied for last.
Right.
So, but anyways, we'll talk a little bit more about the upcoming schedule a little bit later in the show. Right now, we are going to, before we choose our player of the week, we're going to look back on August. Because the calendars turned on Thursday morning. And so we get to choose our hitter of the month and our pitcher of the month for August. Before we do that, the Hunting Tigers were 11 wins and 14 losses in August. And actually, I predicted that, if you remember correctly, or even if you don't, it's still a fact. At the end of July, I said I thought we'd go 11-14. And it was looking like I was going to be way wrong because we were 11-9 heading into the Koshien series and playing against the Dragon. And
maybe you should stop predicting such terrible predictions.
Okay, well, so far we are 1-2 in September, and if I'm not mistaken, we have 16 more games. So I'm going to say that we go 17-2 in September.
Okay, sounds great.
No, I'm kidding. Anyways, let's get back to the topic. Player, hitter of the month and pitcher of the month. So, I'm going to let you go ahead and choose your hitter of the month first.
Yeah, so definitely a tough pick for hitter of the month, I think. There's a lot of guys in the same area as far as numbers, but I'm going to go with Fukudome. He batted 321, had 7 RBIs, 14 walks to lead the team in walks, and had 3 home runs, led the team in home runs, or tied with Gomez with home runs. Gomez and Egoshi, look at that. Okay, so there. 3 players with 3 home runs. So
what was Egoshi's average, though, in the month? 120 or something.
He had
like
5 hits out of 42 at-bats. His was 119.
Ouch.
So
so we won't be choosing him.
Talk about a slugger, though. When he does hit it, he hits it.
It's all or nothing, yeah.
3 out of 5.
So there's a reason that he got sent down to the farm, for sure. Anyhow, okay, good choice of Fukudome. Actually, I kind of have to go with this guy simply because of especially the one magical week that he had. But overall, he was just he was pretty stellar this month, and his RBI total was outstanding, and his hit total is starting to pile up. He's on the brink of possibly breaking a lot of club records for hits by a rookie. No need for a drum roll. You know who it is, Shun Takayama. Yeah. Honorable mention, though, goes out to Hojo, who also had an outstanding month and really took over as the... the starting shortstop and an everyday player. He has really, taken hold of things. And at age 22, props to him for that.
Yeah, Takayama had 266 for the week and had led the team in RBIs with 9 RBIs. But he gave up 14 strikeouts and only had 5 walks. But 1 home run there. So, not bad for a rookie.
You're talking for the month?
Yeah.
Yeah, he had 9 RBIs in that one, or 10 RBIs in the 1 week, but or 9 or something like that. But he had 18 on the month, I believe.
18, huh? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and his batting average was around 266, something like that. But that RBI total is just outstanding. So I'm going to give it to him. And he was a key to a successful August, or at least until the last 3 or last 5 games of the month. Yeah, there you have it. What about for pitchers, Joe? Who have you got some guys on your radar there?
Yeah, I'm actually going to go out and give it to a reliever this time. With 13 appearances this month and a 0.59 ERA is Matsuda.
Mm.
Yeah, so he only gave up that 1 home run, I believe. And that was his only run he gave up the entire month in 13 appearances. So definitely a good appearance, good set of relief from him.
Actually, that home run fell into
September. Sunday. Yeah. Okay. So there was one other run, I guess.
Yeah. I don't remember exactly what it was, but yeah, a very impressive month. Actually, I had him on my list as well. Interestingly, though, this month, I mean, really, I can understand why you would go with a reliever over a starter, because our best starter as far as ERA goes was
Mr. Aoyagi.
That's right. Who also probably recorded more walks than he did strikeouts. It's interesting though. Actually, Aoyagi on the year has a better WHIP than Fujinami. WHIP meaning number of walks and hits allowed per inning pitched. So, obviously Fujinami's got some control issues as well, but apparently his penchant for giving up a lot of hits is definitely resulting in a higher WHIP for him than Aoyagi, who gives up very few hits. But so Aoyagi with the honorable mention for me. And actually, I am going to I really want to second you on Matsuda, except that I kind of like to pick someone that the other guy doesn't pick, or who you don't pick, or was it Jimbo the 1 month that you were absent? Anyways, so I am going to actually go with the closer, Marcos Mateo.
There you go.
And this is actually a little bit more retrospect than it is just this month, but I'll let you give us a few numbers on Mateo if you have them there.
Yeah, 8 appearances, 1.17 ERA. He had 1 loss, 1 hold, and 4 saves during the month.
So that one run that he allowed was actually the first run that he allowed and the only run that he has allowed since he was recalled on June the 14th. He's gone 20, I think 27 and one third innings, if I'm not mistaken, and just the one earned run. So, I mean, if you calculate that out, that is an ERA of like 0.32,
right.
You know, for a 2.5 month stretch. Granted, you know, so this month he didn't have as many appearances as Matsuda. His ERA was not quite as good as Matsuda's. So mine is, it's definitely, it's cheating a little bit because it's not just for August, but I really think that Mateo deserves the recognition there. So
sounds good.
Yeah. So interestingly, this I think is the third straight month that I've chosen a reliever as our pitcher of the month, but it's a good sign. I mean, it means that our relievers have started to really, you know, solidify themselves. So it's going to be interesting. Another guy that I would probably give a shout out to is Satterwhite, who also had a really good month.
Yeah, definitely. Pretty good for him. He had 11 appearances and a 2.31 ERA.
Okay, that's pretty decent.
Yeah.
I thought it was a little bit better than that, but yeah. Anyways. Okay, well, this past week actually straddled August and September. So, you know, before we get ahead of ourselves here, let's talk about our player of the week.
Every week, one tiger stands above the rest. He elevates his game to another level. He is the player of the week.
Really, I mean, our hitting didn't show up at all pretty much the whole week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, we got the 3 runs in the 8th inning today for the win. But,
right.
You know, even then, I think 3 was our most runs in any game all week. We had 3 runs 3 times, and we had 0 runs
one, two.
Once, and 2 runs the other time. So, who you got for us, Joe?
All right, tough pick again this week. But I went with the savior that got us the win today, Mr. Hataguchi, being able to bat that run across when we needed it at the end there. So he went 4 for 12 on the week and had 3 RBIs and 1 home run. So, you know, he didn't have a good week before today because he had a Moda show of 3 hits today. So, but definitely, I think, you know, I'm going to give him player of the week because the team needed some hits at the right time, and the win was much needed. So,
well, and his other hit on the week was the home run that you know, tried to spark something after the 7-0 you know, disaster by
right.
Shintaro. So yeah, Haraguchi, yeah, pretty good choice, I would say. I'm actually going to have co-players of the week, and the only reason I'm doing this is because you did it a few weeks back, so if you can do it, why can't I? And I'm actually going with 2 pitchers, and one of them is a guy that I've neglected for pitcher of the month a couple times, so Messenger.
Yeah.
He got my vote this time. Really, I mean, he got the loss, which is different than Iwasada. Iwasada got the win, and he's my other co-player of the week. So Messenger and Iwasada, outstanding pitching. Much needed. You know, Nomi had a good week as well, but he just didn't go as deep. You know, both of those guys just really shut down the other team big time. And again, Messenger's run, you know, was just a couple of bad things, you know, in a row that went wrong that resulted. And it was the close walk, the stolen base, and then the late charge by Nakatani on the throw home. So, you know, Messenger, poor guy, victim there. And then Iwasada just hanging tough after that solo home run in the second inning. He was just a man on fire the rest of the way. I think he gave up, was it just 3 hits?
It was three hits,
I believe. Yeah, over 8 innings, and I think he walked 2. So yep. Really good outing by him. He didn't have a whole lot of strikeouts, but still looks like the Iwasada that we all fell in love with early in the year. So those are my guys.
All right. Punching Tigers, English. Punching Tigers,
English. Punching Tigers, English. Hot Topics. Okay. Let's move on. Actually, today we are going to do a little bit of hot topicing, and I didn't know that was a verb, but now it is. And so our hot topic, actually is, I don't know. It's a little bit tricky to kind of, address maybe at this time of year or whatever, but I want to look at, like, what do you think that the Hanshin Tigers need to do moving forward, meaning for next season? What do we need to do in the offseason as far as draft? What do we need to do as far as free agent acquisitions? And the reason, a couple of reasons I bring this up. One, because I'm probably not going to be podcasting this offseason, so we won't be talking about it in October. And two, because it has been announced, you know, in news a bit recently about guys that have acquired free agent status and guys that may be available to us this coming off season. So some of those guys, just to run them past you, Joe, two of them are with the Dragons. There's Yohei Oshima, who is their center fielder, a speedster, and then also Ryosuke Hirata. Forgive me if I got the first names wrong. He is a right fielder, I believe. And he actually has just kind of come into his own as far as slugging goes. He's no Vicieto and he's no Tsutsugo, but, you know, he'll get you, you know, upwards of 20 home runs. So decent speed, decent defense, decent bat. And then another guy that is intriguing is a guy that just plays across the bridge in Osaka for the Buffaloes, and his name is Yoshio Itoi. And he is also an outfielder who this year is leading, I think he's leading all of NPB in stolen bases. And he's, I think, 34, 35 years old, but he just keeps himself in impeccable shape. And, you know, hits the ball for decent power, you know, plays defense quite well, has a good arm, you know, he's got all the tools. So, do we go after one of those guys? Or where do we shore up as far as positions or as far as stats or skills or whatever? Like, do we need more starting pitching? Do we need more speed? Do we need more power? Do we need better defense? What do you think, Joe?
Yeah, so the first thing that comes to me is obviously I think starting pitching could need one or two more guys. I think, you know, you've had Fujinami had an up and down year. You have Nomi, who's at the end of almost end of life, kind of, you know,
well, at least baseball life. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, obviously. But so, you know, and then, you know, you got Randy that's had a good year, but it just seems like all of our pitchers have had up and down swings and you don't know who you're going to get. So I think if you have a couple more starting pitchers in there that you can give some guys some rest maybe and not push them so hard, or at least give them some time off, maybe that'll help. But so I think with the draft, I think you definitely go after a starting pitcher if there's a good candidate, because those starting pitchers can start for you pretty much right away. And I think we've had better luck in the draft with pitching than we have hitting.
No doubt.
And so I think you continue that trend and hopefully you get another Fujinami that has, you know, a good 3 years at least before he has a shaky year, maybe. I think the starting pitching can come from a draft and can get you some good depth there. Now, you know, Messenger, there's the rumors that he's going to be extended for another year. Yeah. So, and I'm all on board with that. I definitely think, you know, you could have him back next year and he could still be, you know, one of the top pitchers, if not the ace for the team.
Sure.
But I also think that it might be a smart idea to take a look in the foreigners for another starting pitcher. Now, the reason I say that for that second pitcher that I've been talking about is that, you know, you do take a big risk with bringing a foreigner over. There's some that make it and some that don't, as far as the culture and everything else. So I think having another starting pitcher there that has had tons of experience in Japan would be a great time to transition a younger pitcher that might have, you know, or at least just a new to Japan pitcher, that you can transition some of that, you know, knowledge, experience, the culture, and kind of adapt to the team. I really think
exactly
having
right.
somebody there that can be with them all the time really can, you know, have like a buddy off field as well, will really help acclimate them and make things go a lot easier. So, you know, I think Randy maybe has one or two more years, but I think next year might be a good time to bring somebody in that could be his replacement eventually.
You're absolutely right. I actually hadn't thought of that, but for sure, you know, Randy has got a lot to impart. And I have the newest Hanshin Tigers magazine, and he was on the cover, and the interview, they actually talked about him being a leader and kind of the captain of the Gaijins is kind of what they call him, right, or whatever. And it's so true. And, you know, he is definitely that influence in the locker room and on the field during practice and stuff like that. And so you're right. I mean, we do need to find – it's not that we're finding someone to replace Randy, because we're not looking to replace him for 2017, but we're definitely looking for somebody that can – carry the torch after Randy's time is done, because let's face it, I mean, he's not gonna last through 2020, you know, 2018, maybe 2019 at the latest, I would say, but you know, there's no better time than now to bring in another guy for that. That's a good call. I like that. One of the things that I would say we should chase, if possible, whether in the draft or elsewhere, is speed. And I don't know, it's kind of a it's a tough one to fill, because speed is not necessarily something that you can gauge real accurately. I mean, a guy could steal a ton of bases at a lower level and just have a hard time at the pros. But I think we need guys with good wheels, because we really lack in that. And I really was hoping that with Kanemoto, and especially after the first couple of weeks when it looked like everybody was running all the time, you know, Gomez with the two stolen bases, Messenger with the stolen base, Yokota was stealing a lot of bases too. It looked like we were going to have some good numbers, but if you look at it, I think we're actually below the WADA pace right now.
Wow.
And I look at even the guys down on the farm, and I'm thinking, okay, who do we have that's got really good wheels? We've got Araki, who doesn't have a good enough bat to make it on base enough. We got Yokota, who, you know, has got decent wheels, and I think he's a good piece for the future, and he'll be a good base stealer, but I don't think he is a strong base stealing threat, you know, in the same vein as like Akahoshi or someone like that. I mean, he's got a lot more dimensions to his game, but it would be nice to have that base stealing threat. I mean, just that guy that when he's on base, the other pitcher has got to look out, the catcher has got to look out. You know, he's that guy that they're always looking at to steal the base. And we haven't had a guy like that since Akahoshi. You look at our top base stealer right now, it's Toritani with 13. Well, guess how old he is? He's 35. And guess who hopefully won't be playing every game next year? Toritani. So who's going to steal the bases? Uemoto's 30, and he's not getting full-time work either. You know, he was our base-stealing leader 2 years in a row there. Nishioka, you know, can we count on those legs? Not really. Yamato, I think, gets thrown out more than he steals bases. So, I mean, all these guys that are quote-unquote fast, they're not getting it done. And I really think that's a big weakness on this team. And I think the power is something that is going to come in time. And if you look at some of the guys that we have, I think we've got a decent number of guys that if you look at the Karp lineup, somebody mentioned this on Twitter, their number one through number six hitters all have over 10 home runs. And we only have two guys on our team right now, Gomez and Haraguchi, who just has 10. But I really see us as having a similar lineup in a couple years' time. If you look at like Takayama, Yokota, Egoshi, Nakatani, even Hojo, I think, can get over 10. And then Haraguchi, and then you know, whether it's Gomez or some other foreigner, you know, that could be another over 10 guy. So we've got enough guys that have the potential. Yokawa is another guy that could hit, you know, easily 20 if he can get things together. So I don't think the power is something we need to necessarily like actively search for. It's great if we can, you know, if we can acquire more power hitters, but I think the power is going to come with this team.
Yeah, but what would you do with Gomez? I know that's been a talk of late as to, you know, is Gomez coming back next year or is he getting replaced? You know, would you replace him with somebody that is, you know, definitely a slugger, or would you try to get more of an on-base kind of person?
So, I mean, that's kind of the big issue, and I want to save that for episode 47, actually, or maybe 48, where we talk about the fate of the foreigners and who's going to stay or who we hope is going to stay and so on. Honestly, I think that we do need that, I mean, the more sluggers, the better in a sense. And I really think that the way that the Tigers are built, I think we need the foreign bat to be, you know, a big home run hitting guy.
Absolutely.
You know, we'll talk about that a little bit more, maybe in future episodes. So as far as the pitching arms go, I'll agree with you, on you know, the extra arms. You can never have too many arms. And you know, we've got some good young pitchers that are, you know, they're coming into their own. Iwasada and Fujinami and even Aoyagi, whether he remains a starter or not is another question. But, you know, these are guys that are really young and they're anchoring this rotation to an extent. And then even Iwazaki And then Mochizuki, who we drafted last year, he's apparently got potential to be a good, you know, solid starter as well. But, you know, you can't, again, you can't have too many. I mean, you look at the guys we had at the start of this year, and we were hoping Fujikawa was going to be a top starter. We were hoping that Iwata was going to be a top starter. Well, neither of these guys has, you know, they didn't last through Golden Week, I don't think. So, you know, even if you say, like, hey, we've got six good starters, so what? Get nine.
Right.
We could use 10. So, you know, go for more arms. I really think that more arms and just getting some guys that are, you know, on base, you know, good at getting on base and good with their, you know, good wheels. I think that's real important. And I really think good wheels, you know, for the most part, never betray you in the field, which could result in some better fielders as well.
So. Right.
What's going to happen? What's the record going to be? What's going to happen? What's the record going to be? What's going to happen? What's the record going to be? What's going to happen? What's the record going to be?
See the future? Yes, they can. Check it out. H10 prediction. See the future? Yes, they can. Check it out. H10 prediction.
But let's move ahead now and look at the week to come and predict what we think is going to happen. We get three more games at Koshien before we hit the road, Joe, but guess who we're facing?
The good old...
Giants.
Giants. Yep.
Rabbits. Yeah. So we are 0-6-1 against the Giants at home so far this year. The only good news is that they pitched Miles Michaelis today, so we don't have to face him. But the bad news is we will probably be facing Sugano right off the top. It might be a Sugano versus Fujinami matchup. And as much as that sounds marquee, it's Fujinami. It's not marquee anymore. So what do you think? How many are we going to take out of the Giants? Or are we going to take anything out of the Giants? Are we going to continue to go winless at Koshien against them?
I think we can... I'm going to go off the momentum of today's game and say that we win 2 out of 3 against the Giants. They haven't been that good recently, so I'm going to go with the momentum and say 2 out of 3.
2 out of 3, that would certainly be nice, and it sounds real dreamy, and I'm actually going to fully agree with you. I'm saying 2 out of 3 because we are bringing Messenger to the mound, and also I just feel like it's going to happen. I mean, the Giants have been ice cold. We've heard this before where a team comes in to Koshien cold and then, mm-hmm. But I think, you know, we can't keep losing to them. This
got to stop the bleeding.
Just, yeah. It's got to be. So that's, yeah, we'll go 2 out of 3 there each. And hopefully we'll celebrate next week with correct predictions. And then what about the two that we play Saturday and Sunday at Jingu against the Swallows? What do you think?
I'm going to go 1-1. So.
Okay. All right. I'm going to go a little bit oddball here. I'm going to say 1 win and a tie.
All right.
just to throw a wrench into things. And there's no grounds to that whatsoever. But again, it's the 5-man rotation. Akiyama will not be part of it. But I'm guessing either Iwazaki or Aoyagi will get called up for the fifth one. But it'll be Fujinami and Messenger and Nomi and Iwasada and whoever they call up for the fifth. So go Tigers, right. Go. All right, well, we are going to actually wrap things up here. But before we wrap things up, Joe, I've got a couple of announcements for the fine folks. And one of them includes you, and the first one doesn't include you. It includes me and my wife. Actually, my wife is, probably by the time you listen to this, she is 39 weeks pregnant, which means 1 week until due date, basically. Yeah, so we're excited for another little T-Ray, another boy. what that means, folks, is that I don't know exactly if, when, and how I'm going to be able to record podcasts the rest of the way. I really want to reach episode 50 before the off season. I really want to celebrate in style with everybody, but the timing of the recordings may be affected by the birth, by the hospitalization, by the post-hospitalization, you know, the triumphant return home. So as a result, unfortunately, Joe, that also means that I may or may not be able to hook up with you. We'll really try to find that time that we can do this because I really enjoy doing this with you. But if not, I hope you all can understand it may be solo shows, at least for a little bit. The second announcement is that T-Ray has started a Kickstarter campaign. And the great news is that my very first pledger, my very first supporter was...
It was me.
Good old Joe. That's right. Joe, appreciate it, man. So I started a Kickstarter campaign, and it is called H10 Writes a Book. So I will put the link in the show notes, and actually I'm probably going to post about it on the website so you see it right up front and center. But basically, the plan is for 2017 for me is I want to write a book in English about the Hanshin Tigers. I don't think such a thing exists. You can find little blurbs about the Tigers in different English baseball books out there, but nothing really extensive. And so I'm actually working right now on kind of an exciting idea, and it's going to take a lot of work to get it to happen. But if I can get the cooperation I need, it's going to be pretty exciting. It's going to be a pretty fun read, I hope. So anyways, I'm hoping to chronicle the Hanshin Tigers history, but I'm going to have a little bit of a different angle on it than just the facts, or just a linear look at it, stuff like that. So if you are interested, right now I'm trying to raise funds so that I can purchase any research materials I need, and also just so that I can get this book off the ground. I mean, you can't really write and publish a book for free. I mean, you do need to have a certain amount of backing. And so I kind of set an arbitrary amount, but I'm hoping to be able to reach it. The goal that I have set is $7,000 Canadian. And I think that with all of your help, if you all are interested in contributing, I hope to be able to reach it. The minimum pledge, or the minimum amount of donation that I'm accepting, is $5, which is, really, really low. For $5, you get your name in the acknowledgements section. For $10, you get your name in the acknowledgements, plus you get the book. And then the increments go up, and the prizes and the incentives go up and up and up. But I really think that it is worth your while. If you're interested, if you've got a little bit of spare cash, I would really appreciate the support so that I can, I can seal this off. By the end of September or start of October, I know that I am going to be writing the book, and I get started right away, and hopefully I can have it, in your eyes by the end of 2017. That's the goal. I would love for Hanshin Tigers English fans to be able to read something of substance about the team they love. So yeah, again, Joe.
Sounds exciting.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm really excited. As you can tell, I'm talking your ear off and everybody else's. Again, Joe, thanks for the immediate support. I think it was within the hour that I launched it. You were right there. And,
yeah, absolutely.
Giving me the support, so I appreciate it. And, of course, I appreciate your support every week on the podcast. It's been great having you on today's show as well. And I look forward to next week. If the baby doesn't come, we will be at you. We'll be with you at the same time as always. But, yeah, hope you have a great week, Joe. And everybody All right, out too. There, enjoy your baseball. So,
go Tigers. Baby.
Go Tigers! ありがとう